if you can. In front of you, you have a packet. You requested more information on Adam Breezy Hill's request for us to change our ordinance to allow Sunday sales. So I've gathered information on both the positives and negatives of what this ordinance change could be. And so we're going to assess the modernization of Princeton Sunday sales policy. So coming from the public already, you know, Princetonians envision a modernized approach to Sunday sales that complement our ongoing development efforts, attract new investments, and positions our city as a forward-thinking leader in Western Kentucky. Our responsibility as public servants is to position our city in a way that promotes sustainable growth, increased opportunity, and a better quality of life for all residents. We'll go over a few things, including the current situation, regional examples, the economic impact of such a change, the implementation process, potential concerns from the community, financial analysis, and lastly, a call to action. We'll start with SWOT analysis, which is our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. A change in our ordinance would position Princeton for active growth. We are in a strategic geographic position for regional tourism and commerce, an area that could use every possible advantage to help us boost that area. It aligns with our current downtown revitalization efforts, and successful implementation has already been done in surrounding cities, and we'll go over a few of those later. The weaknesses of such a change and our current policy is that our current policy is limiting economic growth. There will be limited immediate impact due to a decreased business retention. So in essence, we're not going to see a huge impact on an economic standpoint, because we only have a handful of businesses that it would affect, but the thought is that it could expand in the future. So you're going to have that limited immediate impact. There will be potential kickback from community religious organizations, and Sunday sales are only permitted currently for private organizations and clubs. The opportunities that this could present is it's going to draw in new restaurants and hospitality investments. It's going to align Princeton with neighboring cities. We're going to have an enhanced ability to host community and private events, such as what Tyler spoke about at Breezy Hills Farm, what he's trying to do with his wedding venue. And it's going to improve our current dining and entertainment options. The threats to this is opposition from community faith-based organizations, moral objections from opposing residents, and political backlash, as well as worries of increased alcohol-related incidents. When we look at the current situation, we already permit Sunday alcohol sales to private clubs between 1 and midnight, but they have to have that special Sunday sales licensing. That includes the VFW, the Elks Club, and the Country Club. So we've already established that it's okay as long as you can afford to be a member of a club. When we talk about restaurants, you know, local restaurants and businesses face a competitive disadvantage compared to other cities with expanded Sunday sales availability. Our duty as public servants, like I said, is to position our local businesses to prosper at their fullest potential. And we are preventing certain business acquisitions by having this limitation in our ordinance. Thirdly, the least important to me at least, but still one nonetheless, is that we have lost revenue and we're limiting services. Our policy restricts increased revenue for businesses and local tax collection, and it prevents expansion of services desired by local businesses. If you look at the competitive landscape, I sent out a Facebook post to our Kentucky Municipal Clerks Association asking all of the clerks there to give me their information on what they allow. And for the ones that responded, and also made probably 15 phone calls to different city halls to get their input, you'll see the majority allow Sunday sales from 7 to 10 a.m., between 7 and 10 a.m. start and midnight, 12 p.m. to midnight, and then 1 p.m. to midnight. There's only four cities that I contacted that did not allow Sunday sales at all. That was Marion, Nortonville, Smithland, and Katy's. Now, this isn't a full, you know, makeup of every city, but this is what I was able to gather in the past 2 weeks. We've seen that it's implemented across different cities. It's been successful for them. I won't speak on their concerns or their policing requirements or to that sort because I don't know their information, but those are the cities around us that have already done it. If we look at our economic impact, the current policies have been known to prevent new styles of restaurants from investing in Princeton. That means we are losing job opportunities, we're losing revenue, and our growth has remained stagnant because of that. We've had major complaints from city residents that include a lack of diversity in sit-down restaurants and entertainment options. One of the prime examples has been Wings Etc. The owner of Arby's has approached us about such a restaurant, but has also noted that he would never come here unless we allowed Sunday sales. And Jenny, do you have anything you'd like to add to that?
No, we've looked at potential locations and discussed those avenues, but until we have Sunday sales, it's not something that he can take into serious consideration because of the type of restaurant that he's looking to bring here. A large derivative of the sales factor would be sales during sporting events that draws large crowds to his own facilities.
So we have one prime example, and that could mean, I'm not going to say it does mean, but that could mean there are other potential businesses out there that have not even looked our way because they know how our policies are written. If you look at some research statistics that I pulled, 35 to 54 year old demographic, and that's roughly 30% of Princeton, Sunday is the second most important shopping day of the week. They on average spend 21% more than any other day. And 43% of distilled spirit consumers fall within that cohort. Some data pulled from the National Alcoholic Beverage Control Association made the determination that 7% of its customer base is restricted, or they're denied access to at least 7% of its customer base due to that policy, and that beer sales and spirit sales both see reductions because of that, at 2.4% and 3.5%. If we think about the timeline, if this was to be enacted, obviously we're here today presenting it to you. And this timeline could shift in any way, depending on how we want to do it. But if you had more questions, you needed more information, we could do this again. I think I'm pretty much covering everything that needs to be asked here today. But if you needed it, we could do that. In the past, there's been a public hearing to allow the public's input. I don't believe, and if someone knows for sure, correct me, but I don't believe we have to do that. That's really up to you if you want to do that. But if we wanted to, that would be next. And then based on your opinion and how you want to proceed, we would have to draft the first ordinance, do a first reading, then do a second reading, and vote on that ordinance change. For licensing requirements, the current policy for private clubs is to obtain that special Sunday retail drink license at $100. For other businesses, it's only going to apply to NQ2s, which are restaurants. So we currently have three. There's potential four, and we'll go into that a little bit later. But we'll have to establish the sale hours for the package stores and restaurants. If you go back to the competitive landscape, you'll see the varying choices from other cities, depending on how they want to do it. From 7 a.m., you could do it at 12, you could do it at 1, it's however we decide that we want to do it. But the majority is between 7 and 10 a.m. We'll also have to educate the involved parties for licensing and reporting. They already have a basic understanding of what they have to do. We're not really changing anything. We're just adding what they would have to report, both on a monthly basis and their yearly renewal. So if a restaurant wanted to include Sunday sales, they're just going to have to now calculate that information on their own and report that each month. And then on their yearly renewal, they would just have to pay for that Sunday license fee or that Sunday license. The biggest thing is going to be potential concerns. So public safety. And I am by no means a research expert, but I have the references on there if you want to go and look at the data yourself. They are scholarly journals and articles that are backed. It's not just a Google search. But research on permitting Sunday sales provides mixed evidence of considerable increase of alcohol-related incidents, a 5 to 10% concentrated among crime types and locations. So basically what that's saying is these increases are going to be based on, you know, your major cities, where the population is, what the geographic location looks like. You know, Princeton's DUI count has not seen a considerable increase since going wet and is one of the lowest in our areas. And I want you to just note one thing. These DUI statistics, other than Princeton Police's 24 and 25, include drug-related DUIs. So there was no way of differentiating before 24-25 which ones were alcohol, because if they were pulled over with alcohol and they had drugs in their system, it's going to be counted altogether. But if you look at just an overview, 2011-2012, that's when we went wet in 2012. So you saw a 34% increase, but then over the next 6 years, you see a 16% increase. Coming into 2024, where we're looking at just alcohol-related DUIs, there's an 83% decrease. And then currently there's only 4. Granted, that could change on a day-to-day basis, but that's a 33% decrease. Caldwell County's DUIs, they only could give me limited years, but from 2012 to 2015, there was a 23% decrease. From 2015 to 2018, there was a 61% increase. And from 2018 to 2021, there was a 38% decrease. So these statistics don't show the full story, and they're a bit skewed. So like it said, there was mixed evidence, because year by year, you're seeing increases and decreases. And that could come from increased patrols, from events in different cities. There's multiple factors that could go in to determine how many DUIs there are compared year by year. But if you look at District 56, I've highlighted the ones in green. So our district, Caldwell, Livingston, Lyon, and Trigg, the only one who doesn't allow Sunday sales is Trigg County. Or I'll take that back. There are cities in both Caldwell, Livingston, and Lyon that do allow Sunday sales. I won't speak on their county because I don't know that information. But, you know, or excuse me, Caldwell is not in there. We're working on it. Livingston has Grand Rivers, and Lyon County has Edible. And Edible is one of the major locations that our clientele are going to because of our policies. But you'll see, again, a mixed array of statistics from decreases to increases. I'm no research expert, but based on what I've found, there's no concrete evidence to really prove that having Sunday sales would increase or decrease our DUI count per year. We'll go on to community values. So the community, in part, has expressed dissatisfaction with our progressiveness, while others have expressed discomfort in such a change. And, you know, we've talked about our restaurants and some of the public wanting it. Then you have some of the more morally objective and the faith-based organizations strongly object to such a change. But our city, in my opinion, has remained stagnant from fear to change and growth, directly contributing to decreased levels of pride when compared to neighboring cities. And that is me reading on Facebook, talking to individuals who are wanting certain things. And now, obviously, these are the ones wanting Sunday sales. I've only heard a minor, minuscule amount from the opposing side, but I know if we were to have a public hearing, we would hear them. But over in my time here over the past 4 years, I've noticed that people are losing a sense of pride overall in our community. I don't think that is directly correlated to Sunday sales by no means, but public value and our policies pay a major contributor to our pride as a community. But if we talk about enforcement and oversight, like, our ABC department's going to have limited man-hour requirement increases. They're already doing, the business is already doing what they need to do. All the increased workload is going to fall on them in their reporting each month. What I have to do on a day-to-day basis isn't going to change. And I won't speak for certainty but local policing should see little change in their enforcement. They're already patrolling on a day-to-day basis. And from what I've been talking to individuals in both the county and the city, they have told me that they agreed with that statement, that they don't believe that it would cause a great increase. But let's go on. We'll talk about a financial analysis. And like I said earlier, I don't think this is the most important piece, but it is a piece nonetheless. So last year, we had almost $3.5 million in sales. At 6% regulatory fees, that brought in just about $200,000. An estimated 5% increase on our Sunday sales. And I got that statistic from one of our local package stores. So I went in, I did some of my homework. You know, I went and talked to him and to see his input and kind of get some advice. And he told me that 5% is roughly the average increase on a Sunday sales amount. And so that's roughly $10,000. So we have 13 businesses right now, about $50 or $65 a month, and the regulatory fees would be about between $7,800 and $10,000. There's a list of all the businesses. I won't name them all off, but if we go back to when I said that this Sunday sales would only apply other than the package stores to restaurants, the NQ2 retail drink licenses, right now there's three, La Potosina, Los Agaves, and Adams Breezy Hill. Majestic House could be in there, although they're not. I'm just saying there is potential. They have to obviously make that choice, but currently we have four. I guess you'd count five if you wanted to do Poly Eyes, but those two restaurants are not currently, they don't currently have a license, but those three do. And if they were to choose Sunday sales, it'd be $300 per year. Not a make or break, and like I said, the financial aspects of this aren't really the most important, but they are important nonetheless. So it really falls to you guys. So your call to action. Policy is driven by public value. We've talked about that. I don't want to say a 50-50 split, but there's strong opinions on both ends of the spectrum. And so I won't read this whole paragraph, but I'd appreciate it if you did read it because I do think it is true. The world moves forward whether we move with it or not. There's a lot of things other than Sunday sales that we have kind of dragged our feet on. I think back to, and I don't mean to call out the county or anything, but the whole Justice Center, that came about 10 years ago, roughly or so, never happened. Now it's happening. Things eventually fall into place. And I think we're right now, from my personal opinion, that we are limiting ourselves. As public servants, which we all are, it's our duty to ensure that we're providing the best quality of life for everybody in our city. But I want you to look over this and think about how do these opposing values from both the people who want it and the people who don't weigh on a scale of change. Because our policies need to be both driven by what the community wants, but also it needs to think about the future of our city and how we can best grow, sustain ourselves, and become a forward-thinking leader in our area. So review these findings, engage with the community for input, and then we need to make a determination for the policy change. I put on there the references. They're all lengthy but pretty good reads. If you need any more information, I'd be happy to give it to you, but that's all I've got.